Nearly every market move over the last 2 weeks has been attributed to the British referendum on whether the United Kingdom should remain with or leave the European Union. When a poll showed the British might want to leave, stocks would go down. Then it looked like the UK would stay in the political and economic bloc and stocks would bounce up. Now that the UK has officially voted in favor of leaving, markets are going wild today. Investors around the world went into crisis mode as British voters chose to leave the European Union in a stunning decision with far-reaching implications. Hugh Johnson of Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York, joins us live to discuss the impact of the vote on the world and U.S. economies. And it is a great pleasure to welcome Hugh Johnson to the program this
morning. It's very, very nice to be here. Thanks.
Always a thrill to have you on the program. I guess the question is that is on everybody's mind, especially the Dow was started out this morning over 500 points down, now at about 340. But this is just a blip compared. We're not really going to know what's going to happen here for a long time.
Well, that's right. There's a lot of uncertainty, and uncertainty is not good news for the markets. It's uncertainty by itself. And you're right. This is going to be worked out. The exit of the UK is going to be worked out over a two-year period of time. Big questions right now about what's going to be the impact on all of the details of the UK's economy. What's it going to do to their inflation rate? What's it going to do to their economic activity or growth? The questions, obviously, about Scotland. What are they going to do? They've effectively said they want to stay in the EU now. Do they effectively exit from or separate from the UK? There are lots and lots of political questions. You know, there's going to be a change in political leadership in the UK. There'll be new people that'll be the leaders of the UK. That'll be a little bit of a shift. I don't know how much from the left to the right. That means new policies, particularly on immigration. There'll be lots and lots of effects on trade. You know, I'm raising a lot of issues here. I'm stating there are a lot of issues. The one thing I can say with a lot of certainty is there's uncertainty. In other words, it's hard to figure out how this is going to come out. I can take good guesses, but it is really hard to detail it. I think I have a pretty good idea, though.
So give us an idea of your idea, because what everyone wants to know, of course, we're interested in the global implication, but yeah, let's boil it down. How is it going to affect us?
Yeah, that's really what's on the minds of everybody. It's going to be have an impact on the UK economy, in my judgment. We had been looking at maybe 2% growth in the UK economy in 2016. We might be looking now at 1.5% growth. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it's fairly significant. It means that the UK economy is likely to slow, and with the decline in their currency, the pound, it's likely to mean somewhat higher inflation in the UK. That gets transmitted around the world, and the way that gets transmitted around the world is, I think, just basic common sense. You know that the UK is an important export destination for every country in the world, India in particular, but the US obviously exports a lot of things, shall we say, goods and services to the UK, and that's going to some extent suffer. So it will impact not only the economy of somebody like India, but also the economy, all economies in the world, the economy of the US. It's going to impact the European Union. The trade between the UK and the European Union is going to falter to some extent as the UK economy slows. These things don't happen in isolation. When something happens in one seemingly isolated part of the world, believe me, it gets transmitted throughout the world. It gets transmitted through lower trade flows. And the second thing, lower capital flows. Let's not forget that the British are big buyers of stocks and bonds in the U.S. So it has some impact. It's very hard to measure it. I don't think it's as large an impact as we've seen in the the markets have signaled in early trading. I don't think it's that significant, but it is of some significance.
Do you think we are going to, just looking at today's numbers, would you assume that we'll be bouncing around for a while today and even early into next week, and then things will start to stable?
Yeah, I think they're going to start to, well, they've recovered a little bit from the opening losses, and I think to some extent you'll see some stability. We'll end up the day on the downside. The markets will send a message, and they'll send a message that, look, what's happened is significant. It will affect the UK economy, the global economy, and the US economy. The net message today is likely to be negative, and I think that's the message everybody should carry away with them. It's going to be tough to quantify, but that's the message. What I think the markets are going to do then is, having discounted the impact of this vote and done it pretty quickly in one day, I think you're right that they'll probably stabilize and try to get a sense of try to quantify or get a sense of what really will be the impact on the UK, on the EU, on the US economy. What will be the impact on our markets? I think the net result, and I'm maybe being Pollyannish here, is I think the net result is, yes, again, I go back to the same thing, some negative impact, but it's, quote, not the end of the world. It's some impact, not a great impact. You know, we've got a lot of questions. Well, what's going to happen to Scotland? What about France? What about Holland? Well, there are a lot of other countries that are probably right on the edge of saying, I think we ought to abandon.
And that was my next question to you, because obviously this is going to bring, is there going to be a domino effect where you see either an expansion of the EU with Turkey and other countries going in, much less the many other countries deciding, like possibly deciding, like the UK, that they want to exit, France, Germany, et cetera. So we could see this grow, and the effect of that, obviously.
You very well could see it grow. It depends on the European community and how they respond. You know, there's been a significant, there's some significant needs for structural change. You know, one of the big reasons this happened, I think if not the biggest reason, is just that people want to have sovereignty. They want to recover their sovereignty. They want to have control over the destiny of their own economy and their own policies. We've seen in the European Union a move towards centralization. There's even a cry for a call for the centralization of financial policy throughout the European Union. That's the wrong structural direction. People want control over their own sovereignty, their own destiny. And so there's going to be a lot of countries, I believe. I think, first of all, the fringe countries or the countries to the south, I think Portugal, Italy, Spain, and Greece are probably going to entertain seriously the idea of regaining control of their own financial outcomes, particularly Greece, but also Italy and Spain are probably thinking about that really hard right now. I have no doubt that France is thinking about it real hard. I have no doubt that Holland's thinking about it real hard. France has got some significant problems, and their economic numbers do not look good. So there's going to be some disarray here, and I think a lot of countries are going to be thinking about what Great Britain has done. The ultimate thing is that the EU has got to stop the move towards centralization. There has to be structural change, a change that will give recovery of autonomy to many of these countries, which is really what they want.
When we think of this change, and this has caught many people by surprise, I think every poll showed that it was going to be very close, but most polls did show that in the end, the United Kingdom would stay with the EU. Obviously, that has not been the case. What do you think that says to us here in this country who are 4.5 months away from a presidential election?
It says to me, look, we know it's been a big surprise to see Trump's victories in the primaries to the extent that they have been. That's been a big surprise. Remember Virginia, where there's been significant, when Eric Cantor lost his position to the really, really to the farther right. I'm not sure we have fully appreciated the extent to which, and there are two ways of saying this, there's been a shift from the left, a little bit to the left of center, to the right of center. I think that that's, I don't think we fully appreciate that. And I think that's occurred, and it gives Trump supporters, I'm sure, reason to be much more optimistic about his chances in the election that we don't fully appreciate, and they're not reflected in the polls. We know the polls don't help too much in this. I think that's one way of saying it. Another way of saying it, which I think gets more to it, is that a lot of folks have decided that it's time to take back decision making or policies from the financial and political elite. They're not happy with that, and that's exactly what happened in Britain. We're taking back control of our policies, especially on immigration, from the financial and political elite, which really means the left is shifting to the right. All sorts of ways of saying the same thing. So I think this signals that there's more going on in the U.S. economy that we may fully appreciate, that shift from the left to the right. And that will carry with it significant implications for immigration policy, which is not good news for the U.S. economy, and for fiscal policy generally, but tax and spending policy coming out of Washington. Tax policy would be entirely different under a Republican or a Trump administration.
In the shift from the power from the elites, as you say, and taking that power away, and we give this power to the other side, do they, and I'm going to ask this as delicately as I know how, but do they know what to do with that power? Do we have
I don't think they fully appreciate that. Look, we've talked about income inequality,
right?
And it's a big issue. I don't think they fully appreciate that that if we take that shift from the left to the right, it might mean more inequality, not less, particularly when you look at the details of tax policy under a more right-wing administration. I don't think that's fully appreciated, and it's very troubling to me that that's the case.
What do you think as investors, since most, not all of us are, what should we be watching for over the next 24 to 72 hours?
Well, you should watch the performance of the financial markets to see if they stabilize, as you and I have both guessed. And, you know, quite frankly, the stability of the markets over the next couple of weeks are going to be very, very important to see it stabilize and to start to recover some investor confidence. Remember, this is a knee-jerk response to a very significant surprise. And I think the knee-jerk response, like all knee-jerk responses that we see in the market, usually overstates the significance or the implications of the event.
Hugh Johnson of Hugh Johnson Advisors in Albany, New York. It's always a great pleasure to have you on our program. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
Thank you. We'll continue our coverage of the Brexit. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.